If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
Welcome to the Forward Watch podcast, where leadership isn't just about running a yacht, it's about leading yourself first. I'm your host, Corinne Rayson, ex-yachty, Warified Human Behavioral Specialist, and the director of The Crew Coach. Here we dive deep into the real conversations most people in yachting aren't having about mental health, values-driven leadership, and the kind of culture that keeps great crew on board. Whether you're a captain, HOD, or aspiring leader, this is your space to reflect, grow, and redefine what leadership looks like at sea. Step on board for a candid and eye-opening interview with Captain Dundas, who brings nearly 2 decades of yachting experience, including 12 years as a captain, to the conversation. In this episode, Dundas reveals the real challenges of leading across generations, why understanding your crew's motivations is the key to building a happy and high-performing team, and how embracing leadership as a learned skill, not just a natural trait, transformed not only his career, but also his enjoyment on the job. Dundas shared personal stories, practical insights from advancing ship training, and honest reflections of what it takes to inspire loyalty and growth in the unique crest-knit world of yachting. Whether you're new to the industry or a seasoned pro, you'll find fresh perspectives and actionable advice to help you navigate the ever-changing currents of crew dynamics. Don't miss the conversation that goes well beyond the helm. Welcome, Dundas, to Yachting International Radio. So excited to dive in to hear your perspective being a captain on leadership. So before we begin, I'd love to hear a little bit, or the listeners would love to hear a little bit about you, how long you've been working in the industry for, I think is a good place to start.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. I think I started yachting relatively late in my 30s, you know, having enjoyed yachting in the past privately around Durban and in the Med with friends' boats, but only got into the industry actually in my 30s. So I've been doing it now about 18 years.
Okay.
Been a captain for 12 of them, I guess, somewhere around there. Yeah, it's good adventure, different boats, different areas, a lot of changes. And you know, I ended up in completely different parts of the world, now living in Mexico.
Brilliant. So when it comes to leadership and being a captain, I think we'll dive into this later about working with different generations, because I think it's very challenging what I'm hearing at the moment for captains in terms of working with so many different generations within our workforce at the moment. But specifically talking about yourself, what did you notice as a challenge or difficulty that came up being a captain and leading people?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, probably drawing a little bit from the words of the course, really, but, you know, we do have different expectations about how we approach work and expectations about what we want to get out of work. It's partly what the course for me helped with was actually having things pointed out a little bit. Then you start looking for certain characteristics and you start speaking to people about what they're wanting out of industry and, you know, where, what their long-term plan is, etc. So I think generationally, I think, yeah, the expectations of what people want out of work. And I think looking further out of yachting, this is not only a yachting specific thing. This is an all work environments. And I think we just need to pay attention to it a little bit more in yachting. You know, the primary focus isn't just being on a boat. It's the career. And, you know, we want different things out of it.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the broader challenges are for captains? Obviously, you would have a network of captains around you. Do they speak openly about the challenges they experience as a captain? Is it similar, or are there different things you could add to that?
I think, it depends on who you speak to. There's certainly a lot of discussion around it. Some of it very negative, talking about, the younger generations, which I think maybe there's personal something that has come up for some of those people, but I think a lot of it just stems from misunderstanding. And again, we try and overlay our own expectations over someone who has grew up in a different culture. And, generation is also a different culture. So they, if you're trying to overlay your own expectations onto someone who didn't experience what you did growing up, they're not going to mesh and not going to understand. So I do definitely see a lot of frustration with high turnover boats for various reasons. But one of them is blamed on younger people and not having necessarily good work ethics or not having the desire to do what needs to be done. I think understanding what people are trying to get out of the environment and the job and this industry and understanding the different approaches that they want to take and being able to communicate effectively with someone on what's realistic on their expectations and what's required of them, very important. The way I know for myself, the way I communicate with the older crew and the younger crew has to adapt significantly, not only due to their experience, but also due to their outlook.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The operative word there is adapt. And I think the older generation are very stuck in their ways. And it's, as you know, hierarchical. You have to respect rank. Although the younger generation, we would say that respect is earned. But if you lead from the position of power, I think you are going to have a knock-on effect on motivation and engagement from your team members. So as a leader, it's not about this is my way, you adapt to my way. It's about being flexible in your approach. Very interesting. Yesterday, I had a conversation with the director of the PYA, and he said he had a lot of conversations with captains. One in particular said, there's no ways I'm hiring a crew member that's younger than 25, just due to those difficulties. So how can you help the listeners in terms of what you have learned from the Crew Coach Advanced Leadership course in understanding? You mentioned the word understanding a couple of times, understanding, connecting, motivating. Where do you even begin to get on that level to gain that insight into the individual crew members?
I think there's a lot of different ways to go into it. I think we were talking earlier about having crew reviews and feedback sessions. And I think that's very important. For me, learning more about that, recently and through the course and actually putting it into my toolkit, so to speak, and actually doing feedback to this level with crews rather than in the past we're doing what sometimes management companies asked us to do. So everyone was wasn't really taking it very seriously. We kind of checked the boxes and filed the paperwork and tried to leave it alone as soon as possible. But I think that to me was a fantastic tool to start to get to really talk to people. And there's prompts in there to push harder questions, and not just giving them feedback, but getting feedback from them about how, what's effective for them in a communication strategy that keeps them motivated, doesn't feel like they're just being talked down to and given instructions. The other important factor, I think, that came in for me was looking at values. And, I haven't actually done it yet, but the values workshop. And talking about values, within the course, the other members in the course were sometimes very different on what their primary values are. And, not the values you put on your CV, but the actual values you live by that you hold within you. And I think that understanding those kind of things and the fact that your values are not necessarily aligned with your crew. And then coupled again with that, understanding your values and designing your boat around what your core values are, you can also then choose crew that fit into a structure that would also be, you know, easier for them to maintain. You know, there are people, young and old, who are going to fit into a value system that you hold as important, and there are other people that aren't. And, you know, I think everyone's been through boats where they've had good people, but it just hasn't really worked out. You know, we've had owners that have been good owners, and it just, you know, it just doesn't, you know, if you're not on the same page, you don't communicate with each other correctly and effectively, and your values are different. You know, you may work well for a while, but yeah, you've got to find something that really sits well with you.
Absolutely. So the term values can actually be quite complicated. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of what a value actually means. I've heard someone, a professional in the industry, say when he got asked the question, what are your values? And his response was cars. And obviously you and I know that's not a value. So for people who don't understand what values are, how would you describe what values are to your team? And I've got so many questions for you around this. B, if a crew member has a different value to yours, how do you work with that? And C, how do you hire on values to ensure that it's a right fit? And that's a good point, because when we hire, I think we solely focus on the hard technical skills, but we don't look at the soft skills and the value side of things. So I think very important to bring your team together and have that conversation of, okay, these are my values. These are your values. What are our team values? What are we subscribing to as a team? And what behaviors do we want to see on the floor to match those values and keep them alive?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's very complex. I was almost dreading the fact you'd bring up a question like that as describe the values, because it's a big topic. And I'm not too question one, really. You know, I'd rather you actually describe it. You probably way more qualified than me. You know, I don't have notes in front of me in that respect. Trying to discuss values, obviously from an interview point of view, I think part of the course, we covered a lot of the interview, and there's some sample questions, and I don't recall them specifically offhand. My personal feeling is, you know, there's a lot of people who keep on saying things like CVs. Don't put your hobbies, don't put all that kind of stuff in. It's not important to getting a job. And yeah, for me, it's kind of, in some ways, it's most important. You know, we shouldn't be hiring people. We obviously want them to do the job. But if you're hiring just on 3 years of service and 5 years here, or, you know, that's, you don't really know the person. And I think we work and live with everyone. This is not an 8-hour job where we go home. This is our nights, our weekends, our meals, our everything. And I think there should be a lot more focus on that, on learning more about the people. And yeah, I don't have great examples in front of me, but the template that we had, or the ideas, the list of ideas of the kind of questions you can ask in an interview, I think is a good starting point to sort of start to get people to talk a little bit about themselves and start showing what their core interests and core focuses are of what they're trying to get out of a job. We often don't want to talk about it because we think we need to say the things like, yes, I'm going to be dedicated, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's what everyone says in an interview, and we want a person who's going to, you know, who we can find out whether they're on the similar page as us. I think the point really being is you need a plan for an interview, and you need to have the questions, have some kind of a plan to talk to the people and get more information than just their technical skills.
Absolutely. I think you did describe what values are very well, where it's something that you hold important to you. And they don't really change unless there's a huge life event. But values drive behavior, drives motivation. And what's important to note is that I think in the course I described it, it's described it as pizza topping. Like, you might like a margarita pizza, I might like a Hawaiian. It doesn't make your pizza worse than mine. It's just a preference. So a great example was when I was teaching the inmates, and one of my values is helping others. And one of the guys had missed a couple of classes. So I said, just turn to your neighbor and catch up with him and discuss and share some of your answers so that he knows the direction that we're going in. And he said, flat out, no. I thought, that's so rude. This is your opportunity to help someone. And then upon reflection, I was like, hold on a minute. I was imposing my value, which is helping others. And his value might have been confidentiality and privacy. And we don't really think about how are we enforcing our values on others and the reaction or consequence it can have. Values, we don't learn at school. And having done university and a number of degrees, they didn't teach me values at university either. So I think it's a concept that is really difficult to get your head around. But once you do, I think it really connects people and you get results a lot faster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, that's, I mean, part of it is sharing your own values with your team. Then lets them understand, you know, what's important to you and how they can respond to you, you know. So it's not it is absolutely a two-way street. You know, it's not just understanding your crew's values and being able to adapt to them, but also letting them understand you and having them know the effective way to talk to you and what to look for you on, you know, and how to help each other. You know, if the value's there for learning, then, you know, you can use that to everyone's advantage, and you can use the people who like to teach and who like to impart knowledge more effectively within a team, and not call on the people who, you know, aren't, as you said, more private or not as comfortable about teaching or learning or, you know, whatever the value that we're heading towards.
Absolutely. So I think I've known you now for maybe 4 years. And if we had to reflect back to you as a captain 4 years ago and the challenges that you experienced or were experiencing to where you are now as a leader, how has the course influenced your perspective on leading, leadership, working with crew?
I think the simple way that I had thought of it recently and partly, you know, while in the course was, you know, I felt like a lot of captains do that, you know, the bigger the boat, the bigger the problems, you know, with all the crew and et cetera. So stay small, less crew, less problems. I think the more I get to understand that communicate or that leadership is a skill set, much like navigation, you know, you can develop it and you can work it. You know, I'm a lot happier with the concept of going bigger and working with more people now that I understand what I need to do to help the team feel comfortable, develop, work. So I think that's probably my biggest shift, is not being scared of the concept of bigger teams. You know, that is a prevalent thing on so many boats where they think of it as a, you know, the bigger boats, it's a necessary evil to deal with all this with a bigger crew. And I think it can be a great thing when done well. And, you know, I've had one or two fantastic captains when I came up, and you only need to look at the captains who do it well to see how well it can be done and how happy everyone is in a good team. And we obviously know that there's plenty of examples of the opposite.
Yeah.
And I think so many crew have experienced leading boats because of the absolute opposite.
Yes. And I do remember talking to you a few months ago where you mentioned that, you know, you found more joy and excitement in your role. I can only imagine, you know, once you've climbed that ladder and you reach a position as being a captain and there's nowhere else you can go from a new growth perspective and learning more about leading people, leading crew, I think has given you more purpose in your role, more excitement around the challenges around leading people and how you can make an impact as a captain.
Yeah. You know, our industry is one of these strange industries. So we need to be very cognizant of the fact that a lot of people are only in this industry temporarily. You know, there's, you know, we don't, a lot of the, especially the women involved in yachting, want to start families or want to go and do something else. There's a lot of men who are saving money to start, you know, a company that they want to do. So it's, it, you know, some people do look at it as a temporary place. And I think a good captain can use that to their own advantage, as well as, you know, help develop crew for that. You know, we don't need to be scared of the fact that someone wants to leave the boat eventually. It's part of the growth process of everybody. You know, out of all the people that start yachting, you know, there's only one captain on every boat. There's a lot of the rest of the crew. So, you know, we would expect a lot of people to, you know, move on, find other interests, do other things. We might as well help them enjoy it while they're there, you know, work together while they're there and help develop them for their route up, if that's, you know, that makes much sense.
Definitely. Two more questions for you. We spoke earlier about feedback. And I think this is another aspect of working within a hierarchical structure, the belief that I'm your superior, the conversation is top bottom. Like, you don't really have a right or a say to give me feedback as your HOD or captain. But you have put yourself in a vulnerable position by asking your crew for feedback. And I can hear that you are continuing to have that conversation with your crew. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, very simply, it's how am I going to get better if I don't get feedback from other people? And, you know, I could go to the people that I want to get feedback, you know, like other captains who will tell me that I'm doing a great job, or, but that doesn't really necessarily help for growth. It doesn't help you improve. You really do need to get feedback from the people who you're trying to lead. You know, if you're not doing something right, they're the guy, you know, they're the people who are experiencing what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, or what you could do better. I mean, again, probably shouldn't really use the word wrong. It's just the style that we're doing. And going back to like things like the different generations, it's just adapting to the situation. And if you don't get feedback, it's, you know, it's very difficult. I think, you know, some leaders are much more natural and they can read people better and they can adapt easier instinctually. I'm not one of those people. So the having the tools and learning the skills and going through, you know, this course where it has a bit of structure and gives you a structure to look at all these aspects, I think is very important.
So someone who is perhaps resistant to leadership training and doesn't see the value, why do you perceive it to be worthwhile?
I mean, for me specifically, there were a lot of skills that I needed to learn that I didn't inherently have. And I think, you know, if anyone's honest about it to themselves, you know, even if they're very good, there's still more to be learned. There's still improvement. Yeah. I think, you know, there are boats out there where they have fantastic crew retention and, you know, there's a reason for that. And some of those people might be really, you know, naturally great leaders and naturally great trainers for the entire departments. But there's boats out there with, you know, higher crew turnover, and we, no matter how good a captain you are, you're still going to get crew turnover. People still need to progress. Their goals will change. Their requirements will change as they get older, get married, want to settle down, do, you know, whatever else, and as they progress up the career ladder. And I think part of the thing for me was also learning, if you understand the leadership path better, it's a lot easier for you to then teach it to your heads of departments. You can make them better, which will help you on the boat. It'll help crew retention and ultimately make a happier environment. And I mean, that's really what we're all heading towards, is we want to go to work.
Yeah.
We want to enjoy going to work.
True.
If there's people out there saying, you know, coming back from holidays and going, oh, I'm just going to deal with crew again, then, you know, these are the kind of tools that can turn that around for you and make you happier. I found my last trip home now is on rotation. This is probably one of the happier times I've been for a number of years with my wife and family, just because I was happier with the work. And I, yeah, it went home with me, the fact that, yeah, I feel like I'm improving, making progress, learning. And I was also happy to come back to the boat. You know, I was kind of missing it in a way and wanted to come back. And yeah, it's those kind of feelings up, you know, I've had that before on other boats, but it's been all, I've had some instances where it hasn't been like that. So it's, those are those, you know, these are the good days and the good years when you feel like that, and it's noticeable to the people around you.
100%. And I must say, Dundas, as I said previously, you look so different. There's not this heaviness or tension or stress. You seem lighter.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, with stress and everything, my health was being neglected a little. So this time home, I've started to exercise a bit more and started to pay more attention to myself. And I think everything adds to it. So I'm not just saying it's exclusively doing this course. That's certainly not the case. But I think it's one thing that takes the stress off your shoulders, which helps, you know, it helps the motivation for the next step, for the other environments, for your home environment, for dealing with kids, for, as I said, like being happy to come back to the boat and see how everyone's going and see what else you can do for them and what else they want from you and how, you know, how we can progress further. And, you know, right now I'm in the middle of a yard period, so things are a little bit of chaos, but it's kind of, you know, it's kind of fun. And I've missed that a little bit in some respects, but it's really nice to have it back.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight and knowledge, Dundas, and your time. Much appreciated. Thank you for joining me on Yachting International Radio. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you're ready to step into your next level of leadership, head to thecrewcoach.com for more resources and training. Until next time, lead with authenticity and keep raising the standard. As it was, it's